वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today, instead of the regular Srimad Bhagavatam class, we're going to glorify Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, some of his remembrances and glorious pastimes. Srila Prabhupada wanted this very much, that we follow this day very strictly. Just like this one time in Seattle, the devotees didn't observe the disappearance festival of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada was very disturbed. Prabhupada went in the kitchen and single-handedly he prepared this huge feast, just like in 45 minutes. And then he led kirtan and glorified Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he distributed prasadam. So by his example, Prabhupada showed us how important these days, the observance of appearances and disappearances of the great acharyas, great teachers. And also, on days like this, there is actually extra mercy available. There's so much mercy available in Krishna consciousness, especially on a day like this. There is more mercy, because it's explained that the grandfather is actually more merciful than the father. And for most of us, for Prabhupada disciples, Bhaktisiddhanta is the grandfather, but for us it's even more special because he's our great-grandfather. Most of us, we don't have great-grandfathers, we don't have the experiences, but we do in Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is our great-grandfather, spiritual master, and he's very, very merciful to his grandchildren. In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's opening words, I wanted to read. It's just a short one. And there Prabhupada is explaining how to get the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's very beautiful words. We are very fortunate actually to be connected to this bona fide parampara, this disciplic succession. Just like, it's so beautiful just to see like Prabhupada and then his spiritual master like that. Most of the times you don't have this in spiritual circles. Like this great guru, very, very famous in India all over, and also around the world. One of my friends, he was driving him, and my friend is actually a devotee. So this devotee friend asked this guru, you know, where do you get your knowledge? You're so famous for your talks, where do you get your knowledge? And the person thought for a while and then he said, you know, I was meditating in a cave for like about 2 weeks, fasting and like this, and this knowledge came to me. Most of the time, this is how, you know, people say that they receive the knowledge, which is bogus. Because, as we all know, human being, we are imperfect, we have imperfect senses, we have tendency to cheat, we are an illusion, we commit mistakes. So this kind of instrument we have, if we say we are the source of the knowledge that we have, it's questionable. It's very dangerous to give your life to such a teacher. But in Krishna consciousness, the beauty is you can see Prabhupada and his disciples, Prabhupada and all the way up to Krishna. The knowledge is coming from the perfect source without any changes. So we are very fortunate. So I wanted to read these opening words of the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Srila Prabhupada glorifies his spiritual master. Prabhupada says, "First of all, let me offer my humble, respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. Sometime in the year 1935, when His Divine Grace was staying at Radha Kund, I went to see Him from Bombay. At that time, He gave me many important instructions in regard to constructing temples and publishing books. He personally told me that publishing books is more important than constructing temples. Of course, those same instructions remained within my mind for many years. In 1944, I began publishing my Back to Godhead. And when I retired from family life in 1958, I began publishing Srimad Bhagavatam in Delhi. When three parts of Srimad Bhagavatam had been published in India, I then started for the United States of America on the 13th of August 1965. I'm continually trying to publish books as suggested by my spiritual master. Now in this year, 1976, I have completed the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the summary of the 10th canto has already been published as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, the 8th canto, 9th canto, 10th canto, 11th canto and 12th canto are yet to be published. On this occasion, therefore, I'm praying to my spiritual master to give me strength to finish this work. I'm neither a great scholar nor a great devotee." This is Prabhupada speaking. So much humility. "I'm simply a humble servant of my spiritual master, and to the best of my ability, I'm trying to please him by publishing these books with the cooperation of my disciples in America. Fortunately, scholars all over the world are appreciating these publications. Let us cooperatively publish more and more volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam just to please His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur." So this is the words of Prabhupada. He's giving in a nutshell what he has understood is most pleasing to his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was actually very, very fond of book distribution. This is where it all comes. He called it Brihat Mridanga. Because we have in Kirtan, you could hear it like, you know, maybe just up to Venice Boulevard. But this book distribution is called Brihat Mridanga, or the big Mridanga, big drum. It's the printing press, it's beating. And these books can be found and distributed and heard all over the world. Unbelievable stories are there how this book distribution has changed the lives of so many people. Like this amazing example, there is this boy, Yesho also knows, in New Zealand, Auckland, he joined us. And these terrorist groups have engaged him, has recruited him and was going to use him as a fighter in their mission, like a suicide bomber. And this boy was actually put in a house for 3 months and he was just waiting, any minute they were just going to come and take him and he was going to go and die like that. And he actually found Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita in the house that he was waiting for 3 months. And he read the book, and true story, and you know, he got out somehow and now he's a devotee. We can't imagine how far these books go. So that's why Prabhupada's spiritual master called it Brihat Murdanga. And even if somebody would go and distribute like few paisa, few pennies worth of magazines, like newspaper, spiritual newspaper, he would be very, very pleased with that person. And Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta, he was actually given this beautiful marble temple. Really, really gorgeous temple. And he saw how the devotees, the residents, they started fighting over like who gets which room, you know. They started fighting over the comfort. And Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada mentioned how he called it fire in the mat. This inter-quarrel among devotees, he called it the fire in the mat. And Bhaktisiddhanta explained how when they didn't have much, everybody worked cooperatively and they shared whatever they had and they were going out and distributing books. Now that they have this facility, they were fighting over it. So he was mentioning to Prabhupada how his desire is to, you know, take apart all the marbles from the temple and sell it and print books and distribute books. So we can see how much he wanted this. And as Prabhupada was mentioning in this beginning words that we read, he personally told Prabhupada that if you get some money, you print books. But even though Prabhupada had no money, he was still printing books. Prabhupada is talking about the Bhagavatams, first Bhagavatams he printed. Practically he had no money. He was just like, you know, struggling. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that this distribution of Krishna consciousness is actually a very important work. And he was very heavy in his words. He actually said, one who has life will preach Krishna consciousness. And we all have life, at least we have the symptoms of life. And we should distribute Krishna consciousness according to our means. And also, distribution doesn't mean like whimsically we do things. We also have to receive some training. It's not like you thinking you're a preacher and then you go and agitate the people on the streets. You don't know what to say to people. You don't take any training. You know, we don't dress properly. You just go and agitate people. Prabhupada said you're a nonsense. So we have to actually take guidance from people that are experienced how to distribute Krishna consciousness, how to preach Krishna consciousness. It's not a whimsical activity. And in the words of Prabhupada, glorifying his spiritual master, we can see how much Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was fond of Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that if we just kept Srimad Bhagavatam and shredded every other mundane book that's ever written, there will be no loss. Because Bhagavatam includes everything. And that's Prabhupada's formula also. He told our devotees, for devotee kids, so many books are written how to raise children Krishna consciousness, but Prabhupada said it in few words. He said if the kids are, you know, taught English so they can read my books like Bhagavatam, you know, their life will be perfect. Let them play nicely and take nice prasadam. They will turn out to be like, you know, great scholars. So this is how much Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted this Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. He also said that this Chaitanya Charitamrita is so beautiful that the Westerners will actually learn Bengali just to be able to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Such a beautiful book. But we are fortunate that Prabhupada has given an amazing, amazing translation of this Chaitanya Charitamrita. We don't even need to learn Bengali. We can read in the simple English that Prabhupada has given and understand the book so nicely. And I also want to talk about this point of how a devotee is not sentimental. It's explained, a devotee is sometimes hard like a thunderbolt and sometimes is soft like a rose. And especially Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur exemplified this point in his life very much. He was very strict. He was very strict in his dealings, in his teachings. He wouldn't compromise at all. Like when devotees would say to our Prabhupada, "Oh, Prabhupada, you're strict." Prabhupada would laugh and say, "I'm not strict. You have no idea what strict means. My guru was strict. I'm just making faces," Prabhupada said. If you would have actually met my guru, you know what the word meaning of the word strictness means. Bhaktisiddhanta was very strict. Apasiddhanta Dwanta Harine, we glorify him in his prayers, that he wouldn't tolerate any nonsense, any nonsensical conclusion of the Vedas. If somebody, some impersonalist, would be walking on the road, and if they see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur coming, they would quickly go on the other side of the road, cross the road and try to escape. Because sometimes he would physically shake them by the collar and say, "Why are you cheating the people like this?" Because he's coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. For him, he's seeing Krishna. He understands Krishna in full. But when somebody says, "God is just light, you're God, I'm God, everything is energy," this thing is painful. So he would be very strict. Following in the footsteps of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Srila Prabhupada was also very strict. He said, if I'm correct, that he came for two reasons, our Srila Prabhupada said. One is to, defeat the Mayavadis, and the other one is to defeat the scientists, right, Prabhu? There was this program in Kumbh Mela, and Prabhupada went there with his disciples. And there's so many Mayavadis there. And one of Prabhupada's disciples, Gurudas Prabhu, he actually gave a talk. And he was chastising the Mayavadis. Even though he's just a young American boy and these are all like old sadhus and been practicing Vedic knowledge all life, Gurudas was very heavy. He said to the Mayavadis, "If you say everything is one, then why you're eating halwa? Why don't you eat stool like this?" And these people were offended and they came to Prabhupada and complained, "Your boy, they have no culture, like they talk to us like this, these just young boys." And Prabhupada pacified them saying, yeah, "I will talk to him, this is not proper like this." And after they left, Prabhupada called Gurudas and says, "What was the example against stool and halwa?" That was very nice. So Prabhupada was actually very heavy with the Mayavadis also, following in the footsteps of his spiritual master. And it is explained in the Prabhupada Lilamrita from the life story of Prabhupada, how Prabhupada was so intelligent. Those of us, we have heard Prabhupada's conversations, room conversations and talks, morning walk conversations. We can see how he's not defeatable. He's so intelligent. He's so smart. And Prabhupada said even in his school days he was like that. Nobody was able to defeat him in an argument. He would always come up with smart points. But Prabhupada said the first time he was defeated was by his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada was presenting him. Prabhupada actually sat on the same chair, same level as his guru. He sat on a chair and he was just talking to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, saying, "You're talking about this Bhagavad Dharma, but we are, ruled by the British. And who's going to take us seriously? let's first get independence and then, you know, we will spread Bhagavad Dharma like this. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defeated him immediately, saying this message is so important, it can wait. India was ruled by, you know, Hindus, and then it was ruled by Muslims, it's ruled by British, who knows who is going to rule next. But this message is so important, it can wait for any change of rule, it must be distributed. And Bhaktisiddhanta told Prabhupada, the world is full of problems, and this world is full of all kinds of complications. The only thing that's lacking is Krishna consciousness, and that's the only solution to all the problems. And Prabhupada felt for the first time, you know, he was defeated in his argument and he surrendered. He took it as, you know, this person is a pure devotee and this is my spiritual master. And Prabhupada was, you know, happy to be chastised by his spiritual master. Sometimes, you know, we are told sometimes what to do and then immediately like we fall apart. It's a common thing. Nobody can tell each other like, you know, you can't tell me what to do. I can't tell you. We're afraid, you know. But even Prabhupada was chastised. Prabhupada remembers fondly how one time he was in the class, Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking, and there was this older devotee in the class wanted to say something to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just leaned over to hear him out. And immediately Bhaktisiddhanta chastised both of them from the Vyasasam. He called the older devotee and said, what? Just because you give like 5 rupees donation, you think like you owe me? You own me? You can talk in the middle of the class? And he also chastised Prabhupada for, you know, paying attention to what he was going to say. So this is actually real way to make progress. It's no ego, like we should be able to take advice and guidance. It's not like we come with all kinds of baggage and misunderstanding and we want to stay like that, nobody can correct us. No, that's not the way to make progress in spiritual life. Even Prabhupada was chastised. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had many sayings. He would speak very nicely these conclusions of the Vedic scriptures very often. One of his famous sayings is that he said, Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't try to see God, but act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. In other words, don't think like you're so important that you can see God right away, but try to act in such a way that the devotees recognize you and then Krishna will recognize you. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to give very, very much importance for hearing Krishna Katha and doing service. Srila Prabhupada said in his own words that, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta would speak and Prabhupada would not even understand what he is saying, because he would speak in such a, you know, special way, special language that Prabhupada couldn't even understand. But Prabhupada was trying. Prabhupada would sit down and try his best to pay attention, give oral reception. And Bhaktisiddhanta noticed that and appreciated this. Oh, this boy is very nice. He likes to hear Krishna Katha like this. And there was this book written by Bhaktisiddhanta called Surya Siddhanta. Even to this day, even great scholars, even in our Krishna consciousness, it talks about the alignments of different planets and astronomical calculations. They wanted to use it to build the Vedic planetarium in Mayapur, but even our devotees, great scholars, they can't understand the depth of this book. It's so deep. Like Prabhupada himself said in his own words that Bhaktisiddhanta is not from this world. He's a Vaikuntha man. Prabhupada said, what can I say about my guru, who is a Vaikuntha man? So his teachings were also very, very deep. Prabhupada said, even though my Guru Maharaj wrote so many books, and there are so many God brothers Prabhupada had, Bhaktisiddhanta had, so many disciples, but Prabhupada said with all humility that only he was able to understand and grasp the message of Bhaktisiddhanta. Prabhupada said that my Guru actually wrote all these books for me, so he can understand and distribute it in the English-speaking world. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta gave so much importance to attentive hearing. Like one time, they were on a parikrama in Vrindavan, and Bhaktisiddhanta was actually giving a talk. And there were some devotees, you know, they were actually in the middle of the talk, they gave obeisances and they were going to leave. Bhaktisiddhanta got so upset and said, "Where are you guys going?" "So the temple deity doors are going to be closed very soon, the last darshan, so we want to catch it." And Bhaktisiddhanta was so heavy with them. He said, "What nonsense will you see? You'll just do some eye exercise like this. You won't see anything, you'll just see a statue standing there. The way to see is first see through your ears, and then you can see through your eyes, Krishna." Another time, one very influential person came to Bhaktisiddhanta and said, "Oh, I have this very, very important question I want to ask you. It's very, very pressing, you know." And Bhaktisiddhanta was calm and he said, "You know, the devotees are washing the dishes in the kitchen after the feast. Maybe you can go and help them. And, you know, and they will answer your questions." And this person insisted, "No, no, it's so important, this question. I don't think like your brahmacharis can answer this question. I want you to answer this question." Bhaktisiddhanta again insisted, "You go in the kitchen and you wash the dishes and, you know, they will answer." So this person went and washed the dishes, helped them dry. And Bhaktisiddhanta saw him leaving. So he asked him, "Dear such and such, did you ask the question?" And the person said, "You know what? Just by doing dishes and drying the dishes, in other words, serving Krishna in the kitchen, you know, all the answers actually came to me. I didn't even need to ask anyone like this." So this is a very nice example. Importance of hearing and chanting. It's not a cheap thing. And there was also this thing going on at the time where devotees, you know, would be hearing how other gurus are giving this Siddha Pranali mantra to their disciples. Siddha Pranali mantra means this mantra, if you chant it enough times, you can actually realize your identity in the spiritual world. Whether you're a peacock or a parrot or a gopi or like this, you know. So the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta came to him and asked him, "Guru Maharaj, you know, what about this Siddha Pranali mantra can you give us?" And Bhaktisiddhanta immediately said, "Yes, I've already given it. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari." You know, what devotees should be like, tolerant like a tree, humbler like a blade of grass, devoid of all sense of false prestige, offer all respects to others. In this state of mind, you can chant Hare Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, this is the real Siddha Pranali mantra. If you chant Hare Krishna in this consciousness, you will realize your identity like that. And Bhaktisiddhanta used to say this famous saying, "Don't trust your mind." Like Krishna says in the Gita, the mind can be our best friend or worst enemy. So Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, when you wake up, beat your mind with shoes 100 times. And before going to sleep, beat your mind with a broomstick Broom in America is very fancy. In India, if you see, it's like just made of, little coconut leaves and short. You got to go on your knees and sweep. It's a very humbling experience to use the broom. So Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, beat your mind before going to sleep with a broomstick hundreds of times. So this is the formula for a yogi. As long as we let the mind and senses wander uncontrollably, there is no question of spiritual progress. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also talked about, very heavy about prestige. The prestige for an aspiring devotee is like eating a stool of the hog, dung of a boar, he said. It's the most abominable thing. In other words, a devotee shouldn't work for prestige. In a sense, we are so insignificant. That's the point he's making. Because in our minds, we may think we are this or that, but it's all relative. For example, I was in Chaupati, and I gave a class there, and so many devotees were saying so many sweet words and this and that. You're walking around like, you own the place. And you step outside. I went outside with Jai Gauranga, just next door to a juice bar. And these people, these Indian kids, they were looking at me like I'm an alien, Who's this guy dressed like this in Mumbai? Mumbai is almost like New York nowadays. And then I was telling them, oh, we're from the ISKCON Hare Krishna temple. They're like, what is ISKCON? Oh, you didn't know we have a beautiful temple next door. We serve free feast on Sundays. Oh, we didn't know. So I was telling Jai Gauranga, we may think we are this or that. Just for this person didn't mean anything. What is ISKCON? Who you are? This, it doesn't mean anything. We are insignificant. One of my friends, he was telling how he just worked so hard, like an ass, for 40 years, and then he bought this house in Nepal, in this small village. For him, it's a big thing. For me, and all of you can verify also, what does it mean for you if somebody bought a house in a little village in Nepal? Says it doesn't mean anything, but he's all excited and glorifying and, dreaming about it. So this is our position. This prestige that we have, it doesn't mean anything. It's just an impediment for us to grow in spiritual life. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said very eloquently, he said, we will not stay in this world for a long time. Only if this body falls, singing of the glory of Lord Sri Hari, will our birth in this body be successful. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was actually very strict in his determination, in his sadhana, and in his character. Like it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Raghunath Das Goswami, his determination and his sadhana were like lines on a rock. When you have a line on a marble, you cannot erase it. It's like there, permanent. Similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta was also very, very ideal in his character. He was a sannyasi, and Prabhupada explains how this young girl, who could easily be the age of his daughter, wanted to just talk to him in private, and he refused it, saying, no, I can't do that. You can talk here, these are all my confidential men, you can talk here. I'm not gonna meet with you in private. Very important lesson. Because many times we come along, first basic lessons, like at least I was taught, was no mixing of sexes. We just have to always maintain a respectful distance between man and woman. It's one of the ABCs. Somehow or other we don't get it, like even after years of practicing Krishna consciousness. But this was exemplified by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it's explained when he was a little kid, you know, he picked up some mangoes that was given to his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, to eat. And Bhakti Vinod chastised him, saying, "What is this, Bimala Prasad?" Bhaktisiddhanta's childhood name was Bimala Prasad. So Bhakti Vinod chastised him, saying, "What is this, Bimala Prasad? You pick up mangoes to eat even before it's offered to Krishna." So since that day, Bhaktisiddhanta was like few years old. And since that day, he made a vow he will never touch another mango in his whole life. And India, the best fruit you get in summer is the mangoes. Those of us been in India, you can verify. So delicious, so juicy. And as a guru, how many times he would have been offered mangoes? He would just say, "No, sorry, I'm aparadi, I'm an offender, I can't accept." He wouldn't accept the mangoes. And he used to say that anyone who does not chant 64 rounds minimum is considered fallen. Prabhupada tried to get us to chant 64 rounds, and the devotees couldn't do it. So Prabhupada said, "Okay, 16 rounds minimum, no less." And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur used to say, "The Lord does not accept anything offered by those who do not chant 100,000 names of the Lord each day." That's an amazing standard. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did it himself. He did it like one time he made a vrata to chant billion names without interruption. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would chant 190 rounds a day, and he did it for like 9 years or so. If I'm correct, was it Gauranitai that appeared to him? Anyway, he came to this realization that what is this use? He wrote this song what is that song? Pratishtara Tare Nirjanagare Harinam Tava Kevala Kaito. He said, Oh mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? You just after like self aggrandizement and glorification, and you're doing all this chanting in private. And then he gave up the chanting, and then he came to the city and he was preaching Krishna consciousness. That was his mood. He used to say, "What's the use if somebody is drowning and you jump and bring their coat out and the real person is going inside the water? You know, what kind of help is that?" So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that the real help means helping the soul. So in this mood, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur opened 64 temples. Vaijayanti Mataji, I can close the shutters. You can go if you like. He opened 64 temples in this mood out of compassion to preach. And he had so much faith in maintaining all these temples that Krishna is maintaining this Isavasyam principle. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he sensed in his disciples how they are actually starting to feel that the spiritual master, is actually being fed by them. They were feeling like that. He sensed in some of his disciples that they're going out and collecting and on their strength and their prowess that the spiritual masters maintain. And he sends this mood among the devotees and he actually stopped them. He says, nobody is going out for collection or alms or anything like that. I'll show you how Krishna is the maintainer. And after a week, all the treasury was running out, all the bhoga was running out. And there was this wealthy person just showed up and gave like 500 pounds of bhoga. And another person came and gave Lakshmi, and the hundi was like getting filled up. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was actually showing to his disciples how, you know, we are not the doers. It's Krishna. That's Krishna that is provider. And he was not compromising in his teachings. He wouldn't do anything mundane. Like, for example, this great freedom fighter. I will end just a couple more points. This great freedom fighter, Subhas Chandra Bose, he approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he saw there's so many, you know, young men in the temple, sannyasis and brahmacharis. So Bose was actually asking Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, saying, you have so many boys, you know, why don't you give me some for like fighting, freedom fight? And expertly Bhaktisiddhanta told him, you know, they just eat some chapati and chant Hare Krishna. They're very weak, as you can see. You know, they're useless. They can't fight. Just leave them alone and, you know, you can go somewhere else and you know, you can recruit like this. And it's also mentioned how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was the only disciple of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. He was the only disciple. It was this famous pastime how he approached Gaurakishore and asked him for initiation. And Gaurakishore said, oh, let me talk to Lord Chaitanya, I'll get back to you. And again Bhaktisiddhanta approached Gaurakishore and said, did you ask Lord Chaitanya? And Gaurakishore said, oh, I actually forgot. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, you know, without being your disciple, it's no use maintaining my life. I'm just going to jump off the bridge and take my life. And Gaurakishore knew what kind of person Bhaktisiddhanta was. He was not kidding. So he immediately called him and gave him initiation. It was not like a ISKCON initiation. He was asked to take bath in Ganges. And Bhakti Charu Swami last night was explaining in Mayapur how it was a Gayatri mantra that he received. Because the Hare Krishna mantra was given to him by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Gaurakishore was a Babaji. He had a cataract in his eyes. And when he was offered to go to Calcutta to remove the cataract, and Gaurakishore replied, so why you want to take me to hell? Referring to Calcutta. He said, forget it, I don't want to see this world. Let it be covered with, you know, cataract. But Yukta Vairagya, Bhaktisiddhanta was big propagator of Yukta Vairagya. He had most of his followers and preaching in Calcutta. He was using everything of the modern technology to distribute Krishna consciousness. And the last point is how merciful he is. We discussed how strict he is, but he is also extremely merciful. For example, there was this temple opening and the devotees worked so hard to build this temple, and the opening Bhaktisiddhanta actually went there. And the devotees went to the train station and received him. There was big feast and thousands of guests and like this. And Bhaktisiddhanta noticed that this one brahmachari was not to be seen. So Bhaktisiddhanta asked the in charge, you know, where is this such and such brahmachari? And the in charge said, oh, you know, he was actually misbehaving. He was wearing saffron, but he was misbehaving with a woman. So we chastised him very heavily. And then he just ran away in the middle of the night. Nobody knows where he is. And Bhaktisiddhanta became very displeased. He said, you know, all these temples and all these, you know, thousands of guests and feasts doesn't mean anything to me. I've spent gallons of blood to bring this soul to Krishna and you've just chased him away. So go bring him. In the middle of the night, so many devotees are frantically searching for this boy because the guru is displeased after all. And one of them knows this brahmachari very well, that he knows how to fix watches. So they went to a watch store and inquired, and sure enough he was working there in the back. And they begged forgiveness, and the boy was also like missing the devotees so much, so he came back, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was actually very pleased. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say how a disciple should be more merciful than his guru himself. Following that instruction, we can see how merciful our Srila Prabhupada is. Prabhupada, you know, as soon as he went to the Boston Harbor, he didn't even go inside the country yet. Just from the dock, from the cafes, Prabhupada could tell what kind of audience, what kind of preaching, what kind of customers he's got. And he wrote all these poems, how these people are in mode of ignorance and passion and thinking themselves to be happy, you know. Krishna, only you can save them. Give me the strength, you know, speak through me, like this Prabhupada is praying. So it's a very special day, and you know, we are very fortunate to be able to glorify, like Yasha was saying yesterday. The water just like goes to the lower level. Similarly, the mercy seeks. Mercy come to those who feel themselves fallen. So with this mood of humility, we can beg our great-grandfather, Guru Bhaktisiddhanta, for his mercy, that we can chant Hare Krishna and distribute Hare Krishna. It's very simple. But because we being so complicated, we make the process complicated, but it's very simple. These personalities can actually give love for God for us because they have it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any of the senior devotees have anything to say? Archita Prabhu. Jai. Thank you for sharing that. Anything else? Jai, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga.